Can't we all just get along? I was once having a lunch with a group of friends, and we came from kind of all around the country. We had been to different colleges, and one of these friends brought along another friend, and none of us knew her. The talk turned to college sports, and so, you know, rivalries start to come up. Everybody stakes their claim, makes known their allegiances. You know, I'm there chanting, you know, "Go see you, go see you," and we're all, you know, we're all supporting our teams. This girl, whom none of us knew, she started to get very distressed. And she said, "No, no, stop. Can't we choose a team that we can all cheer for?" And so we start looking around the table. Someone starts the chant, and then the rest of us pick it up, and then we're all chanting, "USA, USA." And she says, "No. How about humanity?" And she said it like that, humanity. And it sounds nice, doesn't it? It does. Can't we all just get along? But then what do we make of our gospel passage today? Our passage where Christ says that he came not to establish peace but division. Brothers and sisters, I think the key is, what do we mean by peace? There's a fake peace, a false peace, that wants to ignore divisions. But there's a deep peace that acknowledges that divisions exist and that we have to work through them, not ignore them. Fake peace, the kind that says, "Can't we all just get along?" The kind that says, "Can't we just live and let live?" That type of fake peace, brothers and sisters, is unrealistic, and honestly, it's also insulting. It's unrealistic because it fails to acknowledge the fact that people have deeply held convictions. We have beliefs that mean a lot to us. And other people have beliefs that mean a lot to them, and sometimes we don't agree. That's the world that we live in. That fake peace that says, "Can't we all just get along?" is insulting because it belittles those deeply held beliefs. Here's the other thing about this type of fake peace. People, not always, but often, that advocate for this, "Let's just ignore our differences," they'll want to cite Christ. And they'll say, he calls us to be merciful. He calls us to be compassionate. He calls us to be peacemakers. And that is very true. That is very true. He does call us to that. But they're also very hesitant to acknowledge that Jesus is God, because religion, in the view of many, is divisive. So they say, "Well, he's not God, but he was really wise, and he said a lot of great things. So he's a moral guru. He's a good man." My brothers and sisters, that's the one thing that we cannot say about Jesus, was that he was just a good man. He was not just a good man. There was a famous apology or defense of Christ's divinity, and it was made popular by C.S. Lewis, the author of The Chronicles of Narnia. And it says that Jesus is either a lord, a lunatic, or a liar. Three L's, easy to remember, flows off the tongue. Jesus claimed to be God, so either he's God, he's delusional, or he's manipulative and a liar. Reading the Gospels, Jesus says some things that are kind of difficult to accept, but he's also wise, he's astute, and he seems to be in possession of himself, so he's not crazy. So that leaves us with the fact that he either is God or a liar. What that does not leave us with is the ability to say that he was just a good man. And in fact, Jesus himself rejects this claim that he's just a good man. In the book of Revelations, he says that, "Would that you were hot or cold, but since you're lukewarm, I spit you out." When it comes to Christ, we have to make a stand. He is the cornerstone, rejected by the builders, but has become the cornerstone nonetheless. And a fake peace, one that wants to just ignore or pretend like there aren't any divisions, that doesn't believe that Christ could be the Prince of Peace because he's God, brings no peace at all. It brings no peace at all. True peace has to acknowledge that there is division. There are these conflicts, and it's only through working through those that we can find the foundation for a lasting peace. What are these divisions? We can, I think, in our day, be fairly conflict. We avoid conflict. And so anything can seem to be a division, but it's not. We can have disagreements without being divided. Take, for example, the situation of immigration in our country. Okay, we have to hold two things. On the one hand, we have to care for our brothers and sisters. We need to care for those in need, and we need to treat everyone with respect and according to basic human dignity. We also have to acknowledge the fact that by natural law, nations have a right to control their borders. Holding both of these positions, there's a lot of room in the middle to decide, where do we need to go? What's the best way to resolve things? There can be disagreements there without there being division. There's a lot of room to maneuver within those two guidelines. So disagreements aren't division. What is division? Division cuts. It tears in two. Right? Ultimately, division is sin, and it's mortal sin. Mortal sin, it cuts us off from communion with God, and it cuts us off from communion with each other. It makes love impossible. That's why a person can't receive communion in a state of mortal sin, because there is no communion there. That's why we have the sacrament of confession, of reconciliation, to restore that communion. To restore that communion. So true peace means the destruction of the reign of sin in our hearts, the destruction of the source of division. And I want to be clear that when Christ said that he came to establish division, he did not mean that he was coming to establish sin. Rather, what he was saying is that when it comes to him, everybody has to make a choice. We turn towards God, or we reject God. And rejecting God is at the heart of every sin. But if rejecting God is at the heart of every sin and every basis for division, then accepting God is the path to peace. St. Paul tells the Ephesians about the destruction of this division. He writes, "For Christ is our peace. He who made both one and broke down the dividing wall of enmity through his flesh, that he might create in himself one new person in place of two, and might reconcile both with God in one body through the cross, putting the enmity to death by it." It's the cross that conquers sin. It's the cross that destroys division. It's the love of God that establishes lasting peace. The love of God. The fire of divine charity. The fire. This is the fire that Christ talked about at the beginning of the gospel today when he said, "I've come to set the world on fire, and how I wish it were already burning." Fire, it's an interesting image. Because fire, it can bring warmth and life and light. But it can also ravage and destroy. I will say this. The fire of God's love will always burn. It will always burn us in some way. For those who reject God, this love, this fire of love, becomes unbearable. And it becomes like a punishment. But for those who accept God, this fire becomes a refining fire. And it melts the ore of our heart, where the dross of sin is scraped away, where the source of division is scraped away, and all that is left is pure gold, pure silver. So how do you know if you're being refined? We can ask ourselves a few questions. Are you insisting on some time with God each day in prayer? Even just a few moments. Are you insisting on setting time aside for the source of love? Are you growing in humility? Are you growing in patience? In patience, not impatience. Are you growing in the ability to forgive? If you see these signs, then you're seeing that the walls of division in your own heart, in our own hearts, are being torn down, and peace is beginning to reign. Brothers and sisters, a cheap peace is no peace at all. True peace can only come through acknowledging division, because Christ is a stumbling block. It's up to people to choose to accept or reject him, but he is also the Prince of Peace. And for those who accept him, he becomes the source of our peace. And it's the fire of God's love, when we accept him, that burns away these sources of division and strife. Jesus said, "I came to set the world on fire, and how I wish it were already burning." How I wish it were already burning. Lord, send the Holy Spirit, the fire of the Holy Spirit, into our hearts to burn away sin and the source of division, that we may love you and worship you in peace. Amen.